Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming early today. I only found out on Shabbos that my little first grade daughter is having a chumash play early this morning. So I do have to change the schedule a little bit. Be'ez Hashem, next week I'm going to be in New York for a chasana, or traveling on the way to New York for a chasana, so I won't be able to do it. But Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue with Purim Halachas. Right after that. Okay? Now, this morning's topic, we entitled the shiur, Lost in the Rubble of Surfside. And this is a second shiur that we're giving on the topic of Hashavas Aveda. We gave one a little earlier this year, Lost in Borough Park. But Lost in Surfside, the Surfside Rubble, obviously is a totally different idea. You know, anyone here, anywhere in the Jewish world, but certainly those of us that live here in South Florida, those of us, you know, we're pretty close. It's a few mere minutes away. One could drive from right here and you could be at the site of that building collapse that happened half a year ago. And it's still something that's raw, something that's really hard to deal with. What's the message even of such a thing? How do we understand it? You know, it's not normal for a building to fall down in definitely any major country. Certainly around here, we haven't experienced, Baruch Hashem, such a thing. And, you know, of all the buildings in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to fall down, the fact that a building in Surfside, Florida, with a significant amount of the inhabitants of the building were Jewish, all the more so hits at us that, okay, you know, Hashem's obviously giving us a message. Same time, we don't know exactly what the message is. It's a very tough chapter to deal with. Going back already months ago, people were asking me these shailas. What does one do with the items of pi halacha? Obviously, we'll get to that. They involve the rabbis in many aspects of the search, rescue, and the dealings with Surfside, to the credit of the people involved. The Rabbanim, Jewish organizations, were very involved. But if one would ask what to do with the lost items, things which were lost in the rubble of Surfside, halakhically speaking, what do we do with those items? That is the topic which I'd like to deal with this morning. And to dig in to the sugya of Hashavas Aveda, but I believe that the issues of returning lost objects in this very unique case. Now, we know the general concept in Hashavas Aveda is if you have an item that has a simen, an identifiable means of returning it, so a Jew is responsible in normal circumstances to return it. If you find an item with a person's name, it can even have telephone numbers in it, so one would have a responsibility to return it. You know, we dealt with, okay, there might be certain circumstances where that wouldn't apply, but for the most part, items with a simen, you have to return. What makes this case obviously unique is when the building collapsed, and all of a sudden everything got buried inside the building. The odds of finding anything, let alone things intact, is very, very slim. It's not great. Just the force of a big building, concrete, falling and destroying things. If a person had something in that building, there aren't great odds of him getting it back. But we're talking today about a case where there was something found. There was something found which is identifiable to an owner. Is there chiyuv to give that back? So I'd like to introduce as a concept in Baba Metzia called Zuto Shel Yom. And I had this discussion just last night with Chashuv Aposek, and I put down this idea: would we classify the building collapsing on items? Would you compare that to the Gemara's case of Zuto Shel Yom? So let's read the Gemara. There's a Gemara that discusses this famous machlokas Abaye and Rava in a case of Yish Lo Midas, where a person picks up an item before the owner realizes he lost it. So there's a whole discussion about Yish Lo Midas, and the Gemara clarifies, you know, where is the machlokas Abaye and Rava? If you look in the middle of the Gemara, on Chaf Aleph from Beis in Baba Metzia, Bizuto Shel Yom Shel Shushal Nar, you find something basically washed away by the river. You're on the boat, the kayaking, and something falls over. You lose something in the water, and it starts going downstream. So the Gemara says, Avagav de Isbe Simen. Even though there's a siman, there's an identifiable thing on it, still, Rachmana Sharia, the Torah permits it. And that's not part of the Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Rashi even makes a point, Rachmana Sharia, Vafil Bas Liyada Motz Lufnei Yish. Even if it's found by the person before the owner gives up hope, nevertheless, it's still mutter in this case. Similarly, there's a Gemara in Chaf Daled Amud Aleph in Baba Metzia. We quoted this really for the second half of the Gemara later, once before. The Chena Yushim Ben Lazar Omer, Hamatzel Min Ari, Min Adov, Min Anemer, person who saves something from a lion, a bear, a leopard, Nemer, right, Bartolus, Zuto Shel Yom, Shosha Shel Nar, right? I said that last time. Can't do the joke again. So then it has also, you find something in a big public spot, Chomak Masharab Mitzin Shem, Hare Elu Shelo, Nisha Ba'am Mitzyashimah. So the Gemara says that all these cases are permitted. So seemingly, just at first glance, the case of a building collapsing on something should be no different than something being washed down sea, something which a lion goes and grabs and runs into the forest. What's the chance you're going to get that back? Very, very slim. And therefore, that fits into this category where the Torah says, if you happen to find one of these items, even if it says clearly, you know, Yosef Cohen on it, so the Jewish name, phone number, you would 100% Medina de Gemara be allowed to keep that item. Yes?
Isn't there, like, the next step on this is that it's because the owner thinks it's hefker because they're never ever going to get it back?
Okay, so that's the next step, which I do want to address. But simply put, l'chora, this case is comparable to our issue of the Surfside building collapse. You have a building collapsing, the odds, the situation, you're not going to find it. Now, why is it, what's the mechanism why the Torah permitted such a case? So there's two diyukim I found people say. Firstly, let's start with this, that second Gemara I read. The end of that second Gemara, now it's categorizing multiple cases, but the end of the Gemara says the reason why it's permitted by all these cases, Areil Shalo, Bimnesha Bar Mashiachman. The Gemara seems to say the reason why it's permitted is because the owners give up hope. Similarly, one could make a diuk in the earlier Gemara, in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The fact that Gemara grouped this together, Yechiel, I think your uncle Rabbi Moshe Goldberger and Kolo made such a diuk, or he fought me on a diuk, I forgot which way he was on. But, maybe he fought. There is such a diuk in the Gemara. The fact that Gemara brings this within the discussion of Yish Lomidas, Rashi makes a point of saying it's even if you got to your hands before Yish. So Pasha Pshat in the juxtaposition in the Gemara is Mash, but this is also working through the system of Yish. That it doesn't have to be a practical thing. The owner thought about it, gave up hope, made the object have efker. There's an idea of an assumption of Yish. If the rabbis assume, the Torah assumes, in such a case, a normal human being would give up hope, so then the halacha is its mutter. The Gemara even uses references later, even if the guy screams, you know what, I don't give up hope, I don't give up hope. Doesn't matter. The Torah has an assumption here that every person would give up hope. And even if you tell me this guy claims he didn't give up hope, either his das doesn't matter, or we really think that's what he really means and he's not telling the truth. But there's an assumption of Yish, according to Rashi and according to others, and that is why this case is mutter. For the record, though, there's another idea. There's a, for sure it's a Rashba, a Ramban, it might also be a Rambam, that they learn the mechanism of why this is mutter is not because of Yish. What do they do with the language of the Gemara at the end of Chav Dalad? Okay, that have to be Malcha a little bit. Neshabah and Zashim maybe is more going on the later cases than the earlier case. Not so great. Okay, the Mashmos and the Gemara, yeah, that's also not so simple. But they learn that it's nothing to do with Yish. There's a flat out, the Torah gives a heter. There are certain circumstances, items, the Torah says is permitted. This is one of those items. Not because there's an assumption the person's giving up hope. That's a din Torah. Now we'll see, that might make for a nafkamina, perhaps later. So those are two ways to understand how it works. Zutos Yom either works because we're assuming the owner gives up hope, or even without the track of the owner giving up hope. An item in this scenario, in this situation, the Torah says, there's no din hashavas aveda there, period. You do not, there are certain items you have to return. Other items you don't have to return. Gemara talks about an idea, let's say a zakin, vein lefi kvodo. You're walking down the street. Okay, let's say it like this. You're walking down the street of, good morning, welcome. Person's walking down the street in Meir Sha'arim, nice Haredi rabbi, and he sees a smartphone lying there in the street. You know, there's two issues there. There, I mean, it might be Ein Lafi Kvodo in that scenario to go and pick it up. It might also be a Shailat Pikuach Nefesh. They could stone him. But that's an example the Torah says. Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah in general. But if there's a scenario, it's a zakin, it's a Talmud Chacham, ve'ino lefi kvodo, it's not within his honor to return such an item. The olden days, I think, when my Rebbe taught it to me, it's like, a rabbi walking down the street and there's a big television, you know, a big screen. You know, it's not so bakavadik for him to be walking around holding a television in the street. Looks a little funny. A dumb phone would be okay. Yes. But hold on. So just like over there, that's considered a case which is exempt from the dinim of Hashavas Aveda. So similarly, you could say Zuto Shel Yom is. So to summarize, what we're saying to begin with is items found in the rubble in the Surfside building collapse are similar to this Gemara's case Gemara's category of zutil shel yom, something which is washed away by sea, and even if a person does find it, and there is an identifiable siman, the Gemara says, finders keepers. One would be allowed to keep it. So it means if you're volunteering on the site and you come across something, you could keep it. Let me just tell one more story. I was just winter vacation. I was taking a boat ride in Indian Creek, Fort Lauderdale, all the waters over there. And at one point, it seems there's a salt shortage. So they're pumping out the salt from this area over there, and they're taking it to beaches. So they have a whole big contraption. So the captain on the boat was saying, he knows the guys who work on the thing. He says, you know, when they go through the salt, they pick it up, they find good things in the salt. He says, one guy told me the other day he found some $10,000, you know, diamond earring over there. You know, finders keepers, you lose it in the salt, right? A stomach of that has a din in like zuta shel yom. Sand, sorry, right. I'm thinking, great. Salt, water, sand, yeah. But, yeah, find it to keep it. Now, I want to transition to the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Gemara. Now let's talk about the Shulchan Aruch. Yes?
One quick question beforehand. In terms of, particularly for the Rashba, in terms of things that you, somebody might find that might not be coveted to pick up and be carrying around, what, just as a tiny spin on it, what if it's something that's like absolutely awesome for somebody to have, like a getchki that has somebody's name scrawled on it?
Right. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Literature
yeah. So I was just using that case as an example of a heter of the Torah.
So that would be included.
You know, you're asking really a different issue. Is there a din of hashavas aveda in the items which you think a Jewish person shouldn't have? Let's say, you know, you have, you're an, Rabbi Berger will give a kashrus example. You find a McDonald's bag and it says on the Cohen. Right?
No,
so, okay. Yeah, right? It's probably a setup. Okay, so let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Hoshe Mishpat Simon Reish Nun Tes. Hamatzu Me'ariv Adov. Someone saved something from a lion, a bear. Vizutil Shul Yom. Okay? These cases of Shul Shul Nar, these cases where it's washed down the sea. Hare Elu Shalo. I feel about omi v'tzaveach. The halacha is you're allowed to keep it. Even if the owner is screaming, give it back to me, I don't give up hope, it's mine, you see my name on it, you're 100% allowed to keep it. But the Ramah adds, Hagah, makom makom tovi yashar l'achzer, k'moshen esbar b'sifhei. It's best to return it to him. And he references an earlier sif. This is a concept the Gemara talks about of lefnim mishuras hadin. There are cases where the Torah says you're allowed to keep this item, but nevertheless, if the guy is there, offers a simon, this case, that it's his item, tov yasher, the best thing is, you want to go straight path, is to return it. So, okay, we're talking, you know, here. Let's blow up the case. You know, a person comes across a nice Rolex in the rubble from Surfside. Even it's got a few scratches, you know, still worth a pretty penny. Simply, you read through the halacha. Sounds like the halacha is you're allowed to keep it. But then you come across this Ramah. Okay, right. Perhaps. You come across the Ramah. The Ramah says, Makom makom tov yashar, to return it. So, okay. There's an ideal of Nimashur Sedin. There's a very interesting halacha of Nimashur Sedin. I want to go into that because that's also its own share. The halacha actually qualifies. It says, well, you could look into account the bank account. Take into account the bank account of the finder and the loser. The idea of lefnim mishuras hadin does not apply if the finder is a pauper and the loser is a rich person. There's no, if the Torah says, Medina, you're allowed to keep it, you shouldn't say, oh, if Nimishur is a din, I'm going to give it back if you're a pauper and that person is a person of means. Very interesting halacha. You know, Torah says, you know, maybe this is the way Hashem's giving you money. But, okay, that's within the discussion of Nimishur is a din. Now, I found two major achronim, the Beis Halevi, Rabbi Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, as well as the Trumas HaKri, that both take note that this comment of Lefnim Asher Sadin was only made by the Ramah. Earlier, in a sif, just before this, when the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch wrote the halachas, finding something actually lost in, you know, High Aliyah, in the Opalaka, areas which, you know, are not Rove Jews. They're Rove Goyim, so you're allowed to keep it, even if it has a Jewish name on it. But there, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber wrote, you should return it Lefnim Asher Sadin. Here, the Mechaber doesn't write that. Mechaber leaves it out. So the Beis Halevi makes a diak. Hey, how come Mechaber left this out? Now, one could maybe say, what do you mean? He expects you to extrapolate and understand these cases where there is a simon, you can give it back to an owner, even where it's mutter. You should give it back. That's how the Ramah takes it. The Ramah thinks it's Lefnim Asher Sadin, commotion is bar sif hey, just like it was written earlier. But these Achronim argue. They say, no, there's a difference between the cases. Granted, over there, there's an idea of Lefnim Asher Sadin to return it. But by Zuto Shel Yom, something that's washed away by sea, where the odds are nil, you're going to get it back. Such a case, there's no concept of Lefnim Asher Sadin. So that would make for a little tricky circumstance. The Ramah for sure is saying that you should give it back. But, you know, this might be a nafka mina who found it, an Ashkenazi or a Sephardi? Who's working at the site? If nice Ashkenazic origins, you clearly have a Ramah, you work at the site, you find that Rolex, you should give it back. You should, unless a circumstance that this is Hashem's way of giving you money, but outside of that, you should return it. Though the Mechaber might be arguing on this thing. And it could be a Sephardi Posek would say, if he knows the Beis Halevi, I don't know if he knows the Beis Halevi, but if he knows the Beis Halevi, this Trumas HaKri, then there is room to say that this case is different. This case might be an absolute heter. This case might go beyond the ideas of Yish. And in this case, it might be totally mutter. Yes?
In this case, what do you mean totally mutter?
Good question, right? So I didn't specify in my cases, my made-up cases, what are we talking about? So really it gets into an interesting halacha, right? Is there a din of Hashavas Aveda to Yarshim, to heirs? Because let's say the person perished in the towers, but there are heirs. This might get into an issue of who's considered an heir, a Yorish, according to the Torah. Yeah? But we could also be talking about cases of where there are survivors and they have, you know, claims. So yeah, for sure. So both of these things would matter in the circumstance. Okay, you found it in the rubble. Me'ikar adin seems pashup shot, you'd be allowed to keep it. But at the same time, there might be an Indian of the Lefnim Asher Sadin to give it back. Now, I want to throw one more curveball into the circumstance. I did some research to see how are they organizing the things. They did find things at the site in Surfside. What's practically going on with the stuff that they found? So it seems from the New York Times articles, Miami Herald, what I was able to put together, I didn't speak to anyone in charge of the site, but is reported in the papers is supposedly everything that was found in the site of value, they're cataloging, categorizing, and they're looking to see to give back to the owners slash sell slash deal with. Now, the government is taking an active role in the items at site, which really means of a person going through them and going through the rubble and finding something. Sounds like, I don't know if it's an actual law, actual statute, or is that the process which they set up in that circumstance, that they are expecting those items to be centrally located and returned. So that brings up a whole other angle, really two other angles. I'll start with the second first. Firstly, where does the din of Dina de Malchus Adina fit in terms of Hashava Saveda? The Torah says you're allowed to keep something in this case. But what about secular law? Where does that fit in? That's one question. And the other question, I was also discussing this with the Posek, saying, you know, they are sifting through the stuff and people are, you know, and they're finding things. He says, would that preclude then it being categorized as a case of Zuto Shel Yam? Because maybe then the owner wouldn't give up hope because, hey, somebody might find it. So let me deal with that second question first. In terms of that second question, hey, you know, the fact that they're searching the site and they are finding things, is that a reason the owner wouldn't give up hope? So firstly, if we set up before that there's a major machlokas, Rishonim, how to understand Zuto Shel Yam. Is Zuto Shel Yam functioning based on the owner giving up hope? Or is it an automatic din if in this circumstance the Torah says it's mutter? If it's the latter, so seemingly it wouldn't matter on the mindset of the person, he wouldn't give up hope because people might find it. The Torah says in this circumstance, unless you're going to try to argue, it's no longer Zuto Shel Yam. It's hard to say. It's not Zuto Shel Yam. It's the odds of finding, I'm sure, there's much more things they didn't find than what they found.
It will become again.
Huh?
At some point.
It will what?
It will become Zuto Shel Yam again at some point when they're...
Right, right. It's going through waves. Right. Right, right. So that's tricky. So I would assume Pashas is still a din of Zuto Shel Yam for sure. If you say Zuto Shel Yam is an outright heter. But even if you tell me that Zuto Shel Yam is based on a person's yish, again, it's presumed yish. I would think that most people in that circumstance would give up hope, even though there's a chance, you know, that something we found, you know, that is really a very interesting issue of yish. And there's if a person, you know, we're talking about a case, this has come up a little bit when you learn the Parakeh and Metzias. The average person will give up hope. But you have a person, like, it's just a 1 in 10 million chance, I'm still not giving up hope. Does that constitute a situation where there's no yish? Or do we say in general, the whole din of yish is a din which is predicated on normal assumptions of people? So I don't know. Yes. Yes.
So you're talking about something that's like, well, to the group was vocal to begin with, and then out of all the people who lived in the building, maybe one or two of those items.
Yes, the odds are still very, very slim. And yeah, I would think it's still very not poshut. But hold on, I wanna jump to the other area. And I see this type of share. You know, I have to leave, I have to end pretty soon, but I'm gonna save a few minutes for everyone's questions that want to come up right after. So the other area which I said is very interesting is the halachas of Dina de Malchus Adina. So I'd like to share with you that same Ramah that we were reading before talks about it. So let's see that inside. Again, the Mechaber talked about Zuto Shel Yam being mutter. Then the Ramah added that it's Tovi Yashar, it's best to do Hashavas Aveda even in that case. Now he writes, Va'afa gav de Medina in Chayvim Lahachsa Ba'Aveda Se'elu. Me'ikar Adin, you don't have to return these lost objects. Im Gaza HaMelech, if the king decreed, Obezdin Chayv Lahachsar, Mikoach Dina de Malchusa, Lahefka Bezdin Hefker. If the government says that you have to return it, then you would have to return it utilizing these dinim, the concept of dinu de malchusa dina. So the simple understanding in the Shulchan Aruch sounds like, okay, if you have a case, it sounds like this. From Torah law, we would classify the rubble of Surfside, zutel shel yam. There's no difference lost at sea or lost in the rubble. It's the same thing. But if the Dina de Malchusa Dina, if the law, it sounds even the king decrees, even in this case, that you should return it, then the halacha is you got to return it. So that would seem that anything you find there, regardless of the whole first part of the share, just go with whatever Miami-Dade says. If they say you have to return it, then you have to return it. But I came across a very interesting Ksos HaChoshen, I believe it's also a Shach, that makes the following classification. And I also spoke to Poskim about this. You know, you look in Jewish newspapers, the back of the Ated, the Jewish press, right? You might find there lost, right? You find on the street post in Lakewood, right? Yes. People have signs up, lost in this. Right. Why do we always do that? Why don't we always just give over everything we have to the police station? Let them deal with it. So first of all, it's not so pashut, you know. There are halachas, yidina machus adina, where they're doing, you know, what something could be defined as a din. If you don't trust them that they're going to really give back the owner, it's just going to sit in some vat forever. You know, my poor father-in-law, one time he was flying, and he forgot his notebook in the pocket in front. A lot of confusion. In the pocket in front of him. He felt bad about it. He wasn't Miyayish right away. So he went, it was in JFK, LaGuardia. He went to the lost and found. When he went to the lost and found, he was Miyayish. Right? You see a room, a warehouse with unlimited amount of notebooks. Forget about notebooks. How am I ever going to find this? I don't know. Maybe they should organize Talmidim in the yeshiva to go to the JFK's, thing. Everyone to go through. I mean, unfortunately, I assume there's a turnaround. They burn these things probably. They get rid of them. This is years ago. What a shame. Chaval da'avdin. But the way the Ksos learns Pshat in Dina Malchus Adina is very interesting. He says it's tied together with the Nimishur Sadin. The only time we say that one has to strictly follow the law of the land is only if it's a situation where lefnim mishur sadin, you would have to return it. Since anyway, lefnim mishur sadin, you should return it. So then also you should follow the dina malchus adina and give it back. But what happens in the case of where lefnim mishur sadin, you wouldn't have to return it? Then you wouldn't have the Din and the Malchus Adina either. So the Nafkamina that we said before, whether Lefnimishur Sadin applies by Zuto Shel Yam, would come into play. If you learn like the simple reading of the Ramah, that something washed away at sea, even though it meet Din, you're allowed to keep it. But as long as you're not a pauper, halacha is you should return it. And okay, you have to return it. And there also would be Din and the Malchus Adina considerations. But if you say, like the Beis Halevi and others, that no, in such a case, you don't have to return it. Zutzel Shiyam is different than every other case. It's totally, totally mutter. So then in such a case, one would be allowed to keep it and wouldn't have to take into consideration, the ordinance, says that we should put back lost items. Just want to end with a story that I know of. I know one of the families, the Rachmanson, did lose a family member at the site. Obviously, a tragedy beyond tragedies. But one of the most amazing things that gave the family a lot of chizuk was within the rubble. I believe it was actually the IDF, you know, team found. They found Sidurim and other Sfarim from this family. Inside, it's pretty eerie, but inside those Siddur, that Chumash, you get your first Chumash, you get your first Siddur. Mm-hmm. At the yeshiva, they put a stamp and they give you your own thing. And it had the name of the family inside that Siddur, inside the Chumash. And this family took this as a very, you know, chizuk from Shemayim. Not all is lost. The Siddur, the name is still in there. So there's a lot to returning a lost item to a family. It could mean a lot to them. And, you know, I'm sure the Rama would say, even though Mi'ikar Adin, you won't be able to keep that Rolex. But you don't know many times what the Mitzvah HaShavas Aveda could do by returning that lost item, Tovi Yashar, to do such a thing. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Again, next week, I'll be away, Bezos Hashem, but we'll continue the next, we have 2 weeks, Bezos Hashem, before Purim.